You're listening to Covenant Health Happenings, a podcast focused on providing education and awareness within its New England communities. Hosted by Lisa Richards and Dawn Richard, members of the Provider Recruitment and Employee Experience teams at Covenant Health.
So today I'm so fortunate to be joined by Dr. Mike Signoffi. So he is a gastroenterologist who has been with us for just over 2 years, right around 2 years, right?
Just 2 years, yep. Just fabulous. Just had my anniversary.
So today we're going to talk about something that we think is incredibly important, you know, just to start spreading some awareness, and that's colon health, preventative care. Colon cancer, third most common new diagnosis amongst men and women. Mm-hmm. Third leading cause of death due to cancer among men and women.
Right.
And it is affecting people at a younger age than ever before.
That's right. To go off that point, those numbers have changed in the last 10 to 15 years. It previously was the fourth most common diagnosis. So we were diagnosing it more commonly now. And it was the second leading cause of death. So now it's the third as opposed to the second, which would imply that we're diagnosing it at an earlier age, we're catching it at an earlier stage, and we're able to treat it earlier. The backbone of that is a colonoscopy, which I do every day, all day. I just finished a full day of colonoscopies. It is my passion. It's what I love doing. It is a procedure that we do here at St. Joe's. We offer them 5 days a week and emergencies on the weekends if necessary. It's basically a camera on a fiber optic tube that goes through the colon. The point of it is to detect polyps, hopefully at an early stage so that they never become anything, and God forbid an early cancer that is surgically resectable and treatable, which is another offer that, you know, something that we offer here at St. Joe's as well. We have an incredible surgical group that can do that.
Awesome. For those who are not aware, do you mind explaining just quickly, what is a polyp?
So a polyp is a precancerous growth that occurs in the colon, basically abnormal tissue that's growing there. It is not cancer. The studies have shown that not all polyps become cancer. Certain types of polyps have an increased risk of developing into cancer. But what they do show is that most cancers develop from polyps. So that's why it's important to diagnose it, find them early, and remove them so they never become anything.
Awesome. Thank you for explaining that. So I have been doing a little research, and I learned that the recommended age for colonoscopies prior to 2021 was 50.
Yep.
And I know this, so I'll share with everyone here. I'm going to let you in behind the curtain. I'm going to be 43 in August this year. The recommended age is now 45.
It is, yeah.
So I have girlfriends and family members who have had colonoscopies who dreaded the prep, and this was years ago.
Yep.
You know, a lot of anxiety. Do you find that people are apprehensive and have a lot of anxiety about the procedure itself?
100%. And
okay.
I will say that this is what I do 4 to 5 days a week. I do thousands of these every year.
Okay.
When I have to have a colonoscopy, I'm going to be nervous about it.
Right.
It would be abnormal if you weren't nervous.
Okay.
You're about to have a procedure done. You're going to have sedation in the hospital. Most people choose to have sedation. We can talk a little bit about the different options.
Sure.
You know, you're putting essentially your life in somebody's hands because you're going to be under while they take a look. It would be abnormal if you weren't nervous about it, but I will reassure you, it's an incredibly safe procedure. The risk of a complication from a colonoscopy is incredibly low. And you're right, the screening recommendation has been lowered. That happened in March of 2021. There had been some rumblings in the years leading up to that, but the official recommendation came out in March 2021. So if you are 45 years or older and you haven't had a colonoscopy, we would recommend that you have it done, or at least some type of screening modality, which we can talk about a little bit, the different options.
So the options that you're referring to, I think I know where you're going with this, because I have some friends that have produced samples at home and sent in slides and things of that nature.
Yep.
Transparently, I did not delve into the statistics. That's all you, my friend, today.
Yep.
But in the industry, are you feeling that those results tend to be accurate? Are there folks potentially that are doing those at-home kits that might be at risk and not realize it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So okay.
I think I am biased in this because I do colonoscopies. And I will say that as a gastroenterologist, I think I probably have the most knowledge about what the best screening test is. And in my opinion, it's a colonoscopy.
Sure.
The biggest reason for that is it's the only test that we currently offer that's not only diagnostic, but therapeutic as well. Meaning that if we find a polyp, we can remove it at the time of your procedure.
Okay, I didn't realize that. Okay.
The other things that you're referencing are something called a FIT test, which is FIT stands for fecal immunochemical testing, which is basically they're looking for microscopic blood in your stool.
Okay.
You may not see any blood. They'll do this test and they'll say, oh, it's positive for blood. A lot of things besides polyps can turn it positive. Obviously, cancer can.
Sure.
And so, or any type of bleed in the GI tract anywhere. So an ulcer in your stomach could theoretically turn that positive.
Sure. So signs and symptoms.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm assuming that blood and stool could potentially be associated with some form of colon issue.
Yep.
What are some other signs
that
might be common?
Pain.
Okay.
Okay. A change in what is normal for you for a bowel movement. So if you're a normal person that goes once a day and you've noticed that you're going less frequently.
Okay.
So you're going once a week, you're having pretty profound constipation. That can be a sign that something, you know, could be blocked. The other thing that people, you know, one of the classic things people will reference is pencil thin stools. So things are starting to thin out a lot, and that's because there could be an obstructing mass in there.
So it's having difficulty, you're having difficulty passing it through whatever might be.
Right.
Okay.
So again, it's not something people like talking about, you know, it's one of those, you know, uncomfortable topics, but it is important. We know from the statistics that it's a common cancer, especially in this country, and that if caught late can be lethal. So it's important to find it, diagnose it, and treat it at an early stage. I can speak from a personal experience. So I have a good friend. This is one of my friends from medical school, Maynard.
Love that.
Yeah. he and I have known each other over 10 years now. He is in his late 30s, was having symptoms. Doctor, who probably knew he should get tested, delayed it. And by the time he eventually had his colonoscopy, unfortunately, at that point, he had stage 4 colon cancer. So it is a cancer out there that can affect any age group. So if you are having symptoms, please don't wait. Please see your primary doctor. At least have the discussion. There are other tests, you know, we hinted at this, that you could do early on if you don't want to have a colonoscopy right away. That would be that test to look for microscopic blood. The other option that people will hear advertised on the radio a lot and TV is something called a Cologuard.
Okay, I've actually heard of that. Yeah. I didn't know what the heck it was.
Yeah, so Cologuard is essentially the same thing as a FIT test with a little extra jazz on the side.
Ooh.
So they do a FIT test first. If that's positive, they're done. If it's not, they look at certain biomarkers in the stool that could be linked to cancer. And so if either the blood test or those are positive, then it's considered a positive test, and they would recommend a colonoscopy after that.
Okay.
Same with the FIT test. If the FIT test is positive, they're recommending a colonoscopy after that to find out why it was positive.
Sure. What I'm hearing you say is, in the event that those results are positive, false or otherwise, you're going to end up having a colonoscopy anyway.
Right.
My stance on it, and this is, I'll be oversharing apparently in this episode, I would much rather have you guys, and this team at St. Joe's is phenomenal, I'd much rather have the experts managing that than be trying to navigate a stool sample.
Right.
You know, it's difficult to do, I'm sure. And,
and
I would be concerned, like, did I provide enough of a sample? Is it like a clean catch? You know, there's a lot that goes along with that.
I would also say that the other two tests, the FIT test and the Cologuard, are not as good at finding early polyps.
Right.
They're good at finding...
Once it's become cancerous.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it is advantageous, again, in my opinion, to have a colonoscopy as opposed to one of those two, because you can find a polyp early and remove it before it ever becomes anything.
Sure. The moral of the story for our audience is we are pro colonoscopy. We are pro early detection. You made reference to the fact that, you know, of course there's an anxiety associated with going under anesthesia.
Yep.
I think some of the apprehension for folks as well, and I just want to be really open about this so that hopefully somebody out there listening that's been apprehensive is going to change their mind and come and see you as soon as possible. You know, the prep. Right?
Yeah.
Like back in the day, I remember stories of my mom, like drinking gallons of whatever she was doing. And the prep, I think, was a deterrent for folks. They thought, oh my gosh, am I going to be stuck in my bathroom for days on end? What's going on? And then not for nothing, people are probing around in your private area.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I think that's could be embarrassing for someone,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
So I want to really just disperse those myths. I want to talk openly about it to hopefully reduce the stigma or the embarrassment that might be associated, because I would much rather have people overcome that fear than succumb to this disease. And that's what's going to happen. I mean, it happened to your friend, and I'm so sorry to hear that.
I will say that there is nothing, you can't sugarcoat a prep. It's not fun to do, okay? It is an unpleasant experience. But I will say, from talking to a lot of patients about this, the anticipation about it is a lot worse than the actual thing itself.
And can we just explain for our audience what PrEP means? So
let's break it down. To take a look at your colon, we need to make sure that it has been cleaned out, essentially. So basically, it's a laxative-based PrEP that you will do the night before. Essentially, for most patients, and it's varying, but I would say the majority do what's called a Miralax-based PrEP.
Sure.
Doesn't require a prescription at all. You buy Miralax over the counter. You mix it with Gatorade. You drink it the night before. We do what's called a split-dose PrEP, so you drink half of it the night before, then half of it basically 6 hours before your procedure. That basically purges your colon out, and then we're able to get a good look. I can tell you, and this is maybe, again, an overshare, my father recently had a colonoscopy, not his first, and it was on, you know, my encouragement, and my partner did it here at St. Joe's, and my father, who now, he doesn't live in Maine anymore full-time, he spends his summers here, he came up, he stayed with me, he did his PrEP, had his colonoscopy, everything went well, and I can say from going through his experience, watching him go through it, again, it's not enjoyable, but you know, as long as you have a restroom in your house, there's really not much else you need.
Thank you for breaking that down for people. You know, we really are trying to remove any of those barriers. We really want to just spread the awareness so that folks understand, you know, it's not this insurmountable procedure.
We're talking a little bit about average risk people. I would say if you have a family member out there with colon cancer, you have a first degree relative, so that's parents, siblings, or children with colon cancer, then you are considered higher risk. And our recommendation would be that you get screened at age 40 or 10 years younger than that person was diagnosed. So if you have a family member that was diagnosed, let's say at age 42, then you should have your screening colonoscopy at age 32.
Sure.
So it changes a little bit depending on your family member and age. But if you're out there listening to this and you realize, you know, my sister was just diagnosed with colon cancer, you are considered higher risk and you may need to be screened a little bit earlier.
That's very good to know for folks out there. Answer this for me, if you would. So we talked a little bit about if you stumble upon a polyp in the middle of the procedure, you're having those conversations with folks before this is happening. They understand we're going to remove that and just be done with it. Mm-hmm. Talk people through, if you would, you know, what if you do identify something that you perceive to be cancerous or an actual tumor? What does the process look like at that point?
Yeah, that's a good question. So God forbid we find a cancer. Our team here at St. Joe's is very quick to get you in and get you treated. So what the process would look like was we would take numerous biopsies of the area that we're concerned about. We would send those to our pathology department. We would ask them to be processed in a rush fashion, meaning that within 24 hours, we should have an answer.
Okay.
Assuming that the biopsies are positive, the next steps would be to do a CT scan, so a CAT scan of your abdomen, pelvis, and chest. That is to look for, God forbid, has it spread anywhere.
And when you're including the chest, you mean esophageal?
No, basically I'm talking about your lungs down, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, so your thoracic cavity, lungs, heart, that area, and then going downward, abdomen, pelvis.
Okay.
That should give us a good sense, has it spread to your liver or anywhere else? So assuming that it hasn't spread anywhere else, we have a team here at St. Joe's, a great general surgery team. Typically what happens, at least in what I do, I'll just talk about myself, and everyone's a little bit different. If possible, I will pull a surgeon in at the time of your colonoscopy, if they're available, to take a look to see where it looks like. I also will place tattoos that will mark both edges of the mass, let's say, so that the surgeon has a clear idea of where the mass is at the time of the operation. It's in between these two tattooed marks. Again, we have a great team here. In my experience, when I found colon cancer here in this community, and I have a few times since I've been back here, they have a biopsy result within a day, they have a CT scan in a week, and they have surgery within 2 weeks. That's pretty quick.
That's a quick turnaround. Yeah. And fortunately, we don't want people waiting and worrying and wondering what's happening over too long a period of time.
You know, once you find colon cancer, I feel like the biggest step, and I can speak from personal experience from family members who have had cancer, not colon cancer, but the biggest thing is the attitude and the approach to it once you have that diagnosis. It's never a diagnosis that's easy to take. It's never anything, something that you want to hear. But as long as the patient accepts it, has a good outlook, and remains committed to fighting it, I have seen really pretty incredible success stories.
Wonderful. I learned that patients can call and schedule their own colonoscopy.
Yeah, I didn't
talk to me about this.
I didn't know this until recently.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Let's say that you're in the community, you're 45, and you don't have a primary care doctor. Or you do have a primary care doctor, but you're not seeing them for another year or so, and you feel that you would qualify for a colonoscopy based on what we've talked about today, call our office, we'll go over it with you, and we'll get you scheduled. you know, you don't need a referral from your primary care doc in order to qualify and schedule one. So we're happy to accommodate.
Awesome. And how long on average is that wait right now?
Yeah, it's not,
That's a loaded question.
Yeah, it really varies. So if you have a specific date in mind, like I need to have it on a Friday at this time, then I think the wait is a little longer. I would say it's under 2 weeks if you are flexible. If you're not, it's probably under a month, but it may be a little bit more, you know, I want to be done at 7:30 on Friday. Well, we have availability at 9 on Friday.
Sure. You know, to be fair, regardless of the appointment you're trying to make, maybe it's servicing your vehicle, maybe it's getting your hair done. Like, the less rigid you are and the wider net that you can cast, you're more likely to get in.
From speaking from personal experience, trying to get my car inspected, because the month is ending right now, I can get you in quicker for a colonoscopy than your car can get inspected right
Fabulous.
Now.
Fabulous. So. That's great. And maybe, you know, who else knows what we could get accomplished while someone's here.
Right.
You bring up a good point. If there are folks locally in the community that may be without a primary care provider, you know, we are accepting patients here at both our internal medicine practices and our four family med practices as well. So that's just a little tidbit, little plug there.
I also see one of the primary care docs here at St. Joe's.
Yeah,
same. I think that they're excellent. One of my classmates is a primary care doc here at St. Joe's, who I think was one of the smartest people I know. So
awesome. Just to wrap things up, thank you, first of all, for your time. Yeah. Thanks for the information.
Yeah.
Something else that I wanted to discuss briefly is, not for nothing, a couple of years ago, things were kind of shut down, right? The practice was shut down for a period of time. If there are folks out there that have not yet rescheduled that appointment, what is your advice to those folks?
Yes, if you are one of those people who should have had a colonoscopy in 2020 and you have not at this point, I would encourage you to come in. We're practicing safe protocols. Obviously, you know, everybody's masked during your procedure in the times that you'll meet us, pre-op, post-op. So if you are one of those people who has been delaying this, it's not going to change. You know, please come and see us. It is, you know, preventative care. I look at colonoscopies the way that I look at a dentist. I don't like going to the dentist, but I still go every 6 months because I'm supposed to.
Absolutely. That is a great piece of advice. Well, thank you so much again to our listeners. I was fortunate to spend some time with Dr. Mike Signolfi. He is one of our full-time gastroenterologists here at St. Joe's in Bangor. He is also joined by Dr. Mark Lena, Dr. Joe Gallagher, and then we have a phenomenal physician assistant, Norm Mallory.
Yep.
They are a great group of folks. You know, they are passionate about the work that they do, and they are going to make sure that you're comfortable and well-screened.
Come see us.
Thanks for listening to Covenant Health Happenings with Lisa Richards and Dawn Richard. Please join us weekly for new episodes of our summer series and share with your friends, family, and coworkers.